All right, welcome to this episode of Casual Nonsense. If you're feeling generous today, be sure to share this episode with one person. And you can also find us on mostly all the social media platforms. So come on in. We got plenty of room for you. So Lord Booze is back, and we tap into the final four remaining teams in this year's March Madness tourney. And let's see, who has what it takes to move on? Who's going to win it all? Who's left? How did they get there? And as a special treat for you, we talk about our guilty pleasure, which, of course, is WWE. We got a little bit into wrestling. We have WrestleMania 40 just around the corner, so we couldn't resist. All right, let's go. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Casual Nonsense. I am your host, Mark, and with me is Lord Booze. Lord Booze, what's happening, my friend?
Happy April. Let's go.
Well, listen, we are smack dab in the middle of March Madness. We are at the final four of these four NCAA teams. And I'm referring to the men's. This is more of a men's basketball show, so I couldn't really tell you who's in the women's, although I know NC State is in the women's. But anyway, so we're going to run through the four teams that are remaining, see what we think about some things. Also coming up this weekend is WrestleMania 40. So, Booze, you and I were talking offline a little bit, and we're going to get into a little wrestling for a little bit, maybe a little wrestling heyday, if you will. And it wouldn't be a show without Booze's locks. Without any further ado, we'll just dive right into it, man. We got UConn and Alabama, the remaining teams on one side of the coin, and we got Purdue versus NC State on the other side. Let's get into, like, how did Alabama get past UNC?
Well, Alabama was the number one seed in 2023, so they had a good team last year. They weren't clutch, and they had a off the field incident with a player last year, so they were a little distracted. So they're a good team, and they came back this year. And UNC wasn't as good as I thought they were. They're a little kind of fraudulent. They weren't a great number one seed, so I wasn't surprised about that. Alabama was a top four seed. And they deserve going through over UNC. And the Clemson game was a good game, too. That was a fun game to watch. I thought I was going to watch a football game, Clemson-Alabama. And it was a basketball game. So, I'm not a huge let the football schools get in the March Madness. And now they're good, too. I'm kind of like, there's Alabama again, now in basketball. So I'm kind of like lame-o. But it's okay. Congrats to them. Not a huge fan of the Roll Tide team.
You like when one team is good football, but then they're not going to be good basketball.
Yeah, like there's colleges are like the basketball schools, like the Big East, all basketball schools, no football. UConn's really a basketball school, even though they have football. Heck, they went back to the Big East because they love basketball. Even UNC, like UNC is a basketball school. Duke is a basketball school.
Yeah.
Wake Forest is a basketball school. Clemson, Alabama, no, those are football schools. Like Florida State, Miami, like, come on, let the basketball schools enjoy it.
Well, a lot of the same players, though, on this Alabama team. Like you mentioned, they were number one last year. Same players.
No, it's funny. If you look at all the NIL teams, the teams really that had only players that were mostly from recruited was like Duke and Purdue. The rest had a lot of NILs. I think Alabama has like 8 of their 10.
What's NIL? NILs, for those who don't, NIL is a transfer. Okay.
A name, image, and licensing, but you can transfer now multiple times without missing a year. So they could say, hey, come to Alabama. You can make $300,000 this year. So it's all free agency now. College sports. There's more free agency in college sports now than there is in the pros.
So this UConn team has been essentially destroying people all year long. I mean, can anybody stop them? I mean, I think they're winning by double digits every game, right?
Nope, they're going to win the national title.
Okay.
They're sorry, everybody. Spoiler alert. They're just, I've watched them all year. I have two kids in school that play, at basketball schools, and the Big East, they were just awesome in the Big East. They lost one game, first game at Seton Hall. They lost at Marquette, but the rest of the time they were just lights out, and they play amazing defense. They can shoot the three, and clinging inside is maybe the second best big man in college basketball. All that combined, they're deep. They got about 9. Castle, who's a freshman, is going to be a lottery pick next year. They are loaded. And, of course, they have Hurley as his coach, which he's a complete nut job. But he knows how to coach. They are really I mean, they went on a 30-0 run last game. I don't ever think I've ever seen a basketball game that some team was like 30 to nothing. My kid's eighth grade basketball team playing like a smaller team couldn't score 20 points in a row. They went on a 30-point run in the regional finals. It's like unheard of. So, and I have a lot of Husky friends, Husky fans. They're texting me all through the weekend, which was so great and so enjoyable. Thank you, all your friends out there who are Husky fans.
We're missing Tim today. Tim's a UConn
fan. Oh, yeah. Well, Tim, I bashed the Knicks 2 weeks ago, and now here come the Huskies. And I can't bash the Huskies. Tim's team is they're lights out. You know, they might be better than the Knicks. They're that good. So, sorry, I had to throw that in there. But they're really good. They're really, really good. They're a blue blood. You know, I think they've been now to 7 Final Fours and won like 5. This is their 7th. They've been to 6 before this, and they won 5 of 6. Like, that's nuts.
Wow.
They are just legit. They're fantastic. They're fun to watch, too. They're a fun watch team. They're not a boring team at all, unlike another team we're about to talk about.
Purdue, NC State, you don't think these teams are fun to watch?
And now, again, I'm a fan of Purdue. Got some connections there. They're brutal to watch. They just throw into Edie, and it's either Edie or 3, and they get fouls. Their games last like 3 hours. The fans are great. I love Purdue's fan base. They are a basketball school, even though they're Big Ten football. They're mostly basketball. Mackey Arena, I've been there, is like the old Boston Garden. It's a big circular gym. It's amazing. Man, they're painful. The NC State story is great. I mean, I know Raleigh's probably fired up down there for the Wolfpack and women's and men. It doesn't happen a lot. Usually it's UConn that's like that team that does that. With them, I think 1 year the men and women both won it the same year. That guy down low, my God, he's so much fun to watch. And he's like 6'8". Burns. He's great to watch. So actually that game is going to be really interesting because Burns against Edie will be really fascinating down low. You got this 6'8", 300-plus guy against a 7'5" center. That's going to be fun. So I think that's going to be a really exciting game.
I got a chance to watch NC State live this year. And, you know, when I first watched Burns play, I'm like, I didn't know he was like their starter. I didn't know anything about the team going into this game. And I'm like, this guy's going to run up and down the court about 5 times. And then he needs to be subbed out, like go to the bullpen. You know what I mean? He needs to be winded. But I'm watching him play through this tournament and in the ACC tournament. And I tell you, I'm impressed with his stamina, man. This guy's all hustle. He's all heart. He's the heartbeat of this team is what he is. I mean, they got some other good players on that team. I mean, this NC State team, they're like the little engine that could, you know?
Yeah, the big man, you know, at last podcast, I said don't pick teams that win conference tournaments and make a run. And of course, NC State blew that out of the water.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's funny. Big men in college basketball is still a thing. Pros, it's not. Like, this guy's never played in the NBA. Maybe he will get lucky and be a 12th man. Like, also, Edie, like, these guys don't exist well in the pros anymore. First of all, there's no zone defense. And you got to run up and down the court and shoot threes. Like, that's what makes Porzingis for the Celtics so great. So, these guys have great careers in Europe. College basketball is where they thrive. The big man still rules in college basketball.
Well, Edie's, what, 7'4", 300 pounds, I think is what they get him listed as. But he doesn't look 300 pounds. I'm watching this guy, and like he's not super skinny, but he's not muscular. You know what I mean? Like, he needs to put on another 20 pounds of muscle just to bang with the big guys. I mean, you picture like him trying to stop Joel Embiid.
Yeah, and he can't shoot free throws either. Like, they'll just hack him in the NBA, and he can't keep up and down the court. Like, not to use my Celtics references, but most NBA players now are a Jaylen Brown stretch wing, 6'8", can do the court. You know, can play down low and shoot from outside. Like, Zach Edey can only do is sit in the key, and that doesn't work in the NBA anymore. They'll just pick and roll him out. Say they Burns, like he wouldn't be able to last in the NBA. They would just hunt him, throw a pick, he'll switch, and then he's on Jaylen Brown, and goodbye.
He's got a sweet left, though, Burns.
He does, but there's no way he lasts in the NBA. No way.
No.
Don't forget, the key's bigger in the NBA. This is a smaller key, so Burns would have to post up like a foot further out. No way that would be effective. He's not Charles Barkley. He doesn't have that same. He has to shoot. The guy can't shoot.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. But it's fun to watch where it is. You know, I mean,
oh, it's great.
There was a couple players I was watching this year from the tournament. Like, I don't watch a lot of college basketball. Yeah. I get into it a little more this year because I know we were talking about it. So I wanted to trying to pretend I knew a little of something what I was talking about. Or more importantly, I wanted to know who you were talking about when you and Tim were talking about. But yeah, there's been a couple of players that I think will, you know, I can't wait to see if they make it to the NBA. And I want to see if I can remember their names and kind of follow their careers. Overall, we have, so UConn, Alabama, you pick UConn, you think they're taking it. Does NC State have another game in them? Can they get past Purdue?
Well, I have the Booze Locks coming up, so I don't want to ruin everything. But yeah, could they beat Purdue? Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I put money down on NC State to beat Duke. And it's nice. Funny because so I put like $5 and it was like 5 to win 17. As soon as the second half started, I started paying attention. So they're going up by 6, they're going up by 8, and I'm getting that cash out option. You know, they're like, I'll give you $9. I'll give you $10 at the cash out, all with the 17. I think they're up by 6 or 8 at one point, and I cashed out for 14.
That's a good cash
out. I said I'll take the 14 and I'll be on my way. You know, that's
you can double your money or even triple it, then you cash out. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I was like, you know, I'm like, I believe in the team, but I believe in them up to $14, and then I'm out.
Yeah, you don't trust Duke either. Duke makes a call or two. It gets a couple of calls their way. You should know that down there. Duke and officiating. You know, it's like the sixth man for Duke sometimes.
Doesn't go well. No. I'm going to keep riding the horse, man. I think NC State, I think they play a better brand of basketball than Purdue. Everything you said, I actually noticed that watching them play this last game, where Edie was getting every single call. He doesn't do anything. He stands there like a dope. I don't know. I mean, he scores the most points. He gets all the rebounds, but he's just a big dude. Like, I just don't see any athleticism out of him. He's just bigger than everybody.
We're looking at what would happen if a homeless lumberjack banged an Oompa Loompa.
So I'll talk about my Booze Locks for the Final Four. I have a couple here. So here's my Booze Locks.
Okay.
Take UConn every time with the points. UConn has covered every single game so far by more than double digits than the points. So they were 9.5-point favorites, and they won by 30 last time. Wow. They were 10.5-point favorites. They won by 20. So they are 11.5-point favorites against Alabama. I would take the points and take UConn that game.
So you don't think Alabama's defense is going to stop UConn? Like, you can't, no. You can't do it for the full 40 minutes.
No, not against that defense.
I think first half is probably going to be fairly close. And then just like in the last game where UConn went on a 30-0 run coming out of the half, I think they probably do something similar against Alabama.
I love the NC State story, but I'm going to go with Purdue. And here's why. This is my second Booze and Lock, so you're going to understand what I'm talking about.
Okay.
My other locks I like for the Final Four on Saturday are the unders in both games. Why are you picking the unders, Booze? Well, the NC State game is 145.5, and the Connecticut-Alabama game is 151.5. I suggest unders in both these games, and here's why. The Final Four is always played in a dome stadium, and they put the court in the middle of the dome. So the sight lines is brutal for the shooters. If you've been watching the Final Four for the last couple of years, it is like a brick fest because you're not used to – it's a big open – and you know, try to play basketball outside. It's a lot harder shooting than you're inside because you just have that no depth perception. So they're going to play in this massive dome in Arizona. So three-point shooting is not as easy as it is in like a normal sports arena. So I like the unders in both. I also like Purdue, money line, but not covering. So if you want to take NC State in the points, that's a good pick. But I think if I'm picking a team, I'm going UConn, Purdue in the final. And then I love to see that because I want to see Klingon versus Edie. So I'm a little picking that just because I want to see the two best big men.
Top two big men, other. Sure, yep.
But Huskies in the final, and whatever points they get Purdue, the Huskies are covering that too. That probably be like my guess is it'll probably be like 8.5 points for UConn against Purdue, maybe 7.5. You take, I mean, unless it's 20.5 points, I'm taking UConn with the points every time right now.
They might up it. You'd think that at one point they're going to up it enough, but.
Well, I think Alabama's the like 11.5. I was kind of surprised, but I thought it'd be like 9.5. They had last game against Illinois. Illinois is 9.5, and they went by like 26. Like, that was the easiest win I had all year.
I think Alabama is one of the higher scoring offenses in the league this year as well.
Right, but they shoot a lot. And again, big dome stadium. Just check it out. You'll see the stats. Like, people have a hard time shooting because the stadium court is elevated. You watch the Final Four games, the players are kind of below. Is a stage. Only the head coach is on the stage with the court. It's really weird. It's not like other basketball courts they play all year. That dome thing is a real thing.
That's what Vegas knows. That's what they're picking. Yep. They're picking their odds. You know what I mean?
Yep.
When you watch it on TV, right. It all looks the same to us, you know? Well, it's been a great tournament so far. So you're going Purdue, UConn. I'm going UConn, NC State. And I agree. I think UConn takes it. Sounds like you're saying the same thing in the finals.
And if NC State goes to the finals, that's a great story, too. Again, NC State's, I guess you know better than me. It seems more of like a basketball school than as a football school. But actually, NC State's kind of sucks at everything. So having them in the finals is a big deal, right? Yes, it hasn't been good in a while for NC State.
Unexpected. They came out, they were 17-14 before the ACC tournament, losing 7 of 9 and just like shit in the bed every way. And then they just went on this incredible run. I mean, they beat Duke, they beat UNC, all in the ACC tournament just to get into the tournament.
Yep.
And just, you know, total Cinderella team. I mean, you gotta love them. They're just likable guys too. That's the thing. Like you look at this Burns guy, like I was telling you, like he's just likable. Like you listen to him in an interview, you know, you just want to give him a big bear hug.
It's scary. It's so like 1983 and the Wolfpack fans down there. Remember that very similar run where they had to win a bunch of tournaments to get to the Final Four. And I'm going to prove myself to the NC State fans down there. Like Lorenzo Charles wins the game at the buzzer against Houston, Jimmy Valvano. So you never know. That would be a great story. So
I hope so.
My hopes to everybody in Raleigh that NC State wins, but UConn's going to smash them in the finals. And I know Tim's listening would agree with me.
Yeah. Well, I think Tim was saying before too, he didn't think they'd get past the second game in the tournament, which to be honest, I don't think anybody really thought that. So
no.
But here they are.
No, I had no chance. I thought they were gassed.
All right, let's move on to some WWE, right? This is kind of a weird topic, right? When we were talking about this, I said, let's give it a few minutes and see, because you're probably like me. Like I watched, my heyday of wrestling was, we'll just say like the Hulk Hogan Saturday morning was what started it. But I got really more into it towards the end of his career, more towards The Rock, Triple H, Stone Cold, Steve Austin. Like I was into it in that era. And I think it was a lot of fun to watch. And recently I got to go to a live wrestling match and I didn't know anybody going into it. I knew nobody that was wrestling, right? I didn't know any of these guys. Maybe I heard of a couple of them here and there. So I had to watch a couple of shows before I went here because I wanted to get familiar with some of the entrance music, some of the storylines going on. But I'll tell you this, people, I know the whole thing is, oh, wrestling's fake. Listen, it's not fake, right? It's definitely scripted. But when you watch these guys jump off the ring and they land on their backs, like, I don't care how padded that is. No, thanks. That fucking hurts. Like, we watched a ladder match with these two women that were fighting, and they're diving through tables. They broke the announcer's table. The thing just, like, exploded when the lady landed on it. It was really cool. It was a lot of fun to watch. And it was entertaining. And that's the whole purpose, is that it's the World Wrestling Entertainment, right? That's what it is. So WrestleMania 40 coming out this weekend also. So I'm going to have like 2 or 3 TVs on because we got the tournament, we got WrestleMania going on. I'll probably play some Xbox at the same time. Like, I don't know. I'm, you know, my Saturday is going to be pretty full.
That's a weekend. I only need like a scotch on that. I think of that viral clip of the people at the Terry Funk thing, and the guy's, it's real, damn it, to me, it's real. You know, there's a famous Terry Funk in a fan fest. I'm almost 50, so WrestleMania 1, I'm 8 years old. So as anybody can imagine, that was the first 4 or 5 years of WrestleMania in the early 80s was like, it was an event. It was the Super Bowl for us kids. And it was just, literally, take my pun here, it was like sports on steroids, which it was on steroids. But like Hogan, all right, here you go, Mark, I'm going to do a double take down the road. Okay. Hogan became really huge in Rocky 3 when he was Thunder Lips, and that really was the beginning of the WWE massive growth. Was that event, was Hogan appearing on this mainstream big movie?
Well, I'm gonna correct you there just for a moment, because okay, he wasn't in WWE when he appeared in Rocky 3.
That's right, but it led him to be into the WWE.
Okay.
People were like, wow, that's, you know, he kind of went from there and kind of springboarded the whole thing for Hogan.
Thunder Lips is here in the flesh, baby. The ultimate male versus the ultimate meatball.
You go into WrestleMania 3, and WrestleMania 3 is one of the greatest wrestling events of all time, with Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan, and then there was Saturday Night Main Event, which you were all pumped up for. We used one event every month that would replace Saturday Night Live, and that was like, you had to stay up for the Saturday Night Main Event. That was like a big deal back then. And then WrestleMania 4 was it was a tournament style. I never forget it at the Trump Casino in Atlantic City. It's crazy as it sounds. And Macho Man Randy Savage. So my dad took me to a wrestling event, WWE or F back then, in Worcester. And I got to see the Killer Bees, Andre the Giant versus Big John Studd. And it was someone else. I forget. The British Bulldogs or something. I was up close. It was at the Worcester Centrum, to date myself.
The Centrum.
Andre the Giant was so friggin' big. I've never seen anything like that in my life, to see someone that size.
What was his stats? What was he, 7'5", 450 or something? He was like
just unbelievable. But I saw him in person. I'll always remember that. So then the '90s, I kind of went to high school and kind of, you know, want girls to like me. And all of a sudden wrestling ended for me. and I'll tell a quick story. So it was like 1998. I'm working in a residence hall in Vermont after I graduate. And all these guys are watching, you know, how you have a big lounge with a TV and they're all watching in the residence hall lounge and they're going nuts. I'm like, what are you guys watching? Oh, it's the Monday Night Wars. We watched, you know, watch Nitro and we watch, you know, Raw. And there's this, and it was really right before the whole Stone Cold Rock. And right, it was like a year before that happened. So I was like, okay. But I wanted to get to know the kids and I was a hall director. And man, that sucked me right back in. And that was right at the beginning of the whole Attitude Era and The Rock and Stone Cold, and Mankind and The Undertaker and all that stuff. And throwing Mankind off a top of a steel cage.
Ridiculous.
That was like the most amazing Hell in the Cell thing. So I remember all that. No, that was an interesting time. That was like when they had D-Generation. It was like our age, but it was like we were more like
Like
hardcore, you know, like grunge, Pearl Jam, like everything had to be violent and out there. Those are my great moments. Then after I kind of, you know, got married, had kids, went away from wrestling for a little bit. But I keep in touch with them. It is entertainment. These guys are amazing athletes. I mean, it's kind of sad. A lot of them punish their bodies. And you hear a lot about some of these guys dying at a younger age. You know, they're incredible athletes. They're incredible entertainers, though. I mean, you watch some of them. I watch a little bit now here and then. And I would recommend if anybody has Peacock, that WWE Network has all these great documentaries and shows. They have all the shows from the 80s and 90s. You know, these guys got to be like actors. Like, that's always the joke of South Park. They have the great episode about wrestling where they're mostly acting the whole time. There's no wrestling. And but this is the same thing. So it's just very nostalgic to me. And I'm seeing The Rock's back and he's being like a bad guy again. It just reminds me of those good old days. And I can't believe that it's 40 years since they had WrestleMania. It's unbelievable. I just remember that first one in Madison Square Garden, Mr. T.
Who doesn't love Mr. T?
Come on. Who doesn't like Mr. T? You know?
I pity the fool. I was a big fan of the Ultimate Warrior. Like, he was someone I love watching wrestle. Just the way he came out of the ring, and he's shaking the ropes like
shaking
a crazy
the ropes.
Person. Oh, man. Unbelievable. Any video game I could play as wrestling, I'd always play as the Ultimate Warrior. I mean, who doesn't love Hogan? I mean, I know it's kind of cliche, but he's just awesome. Like, the way they get the crowd going. And I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. When I was just there, I'm watching this guy come out, and it was one of the first fights. And I don't even know who this guy is. But he comes in, everyone's loving him, and I'm sitting up on the second floor, right? So I got a good view of the entire stadium, and he's standing on like the second rope or something, and he's waving his arms in the air, and the entire stadium is doing the same thing. It was like this big wave of like, it was awesome. It was just really cool to look at.
It's like a rock concert.
I
went to a couple of the 90s. I went to some pay-per-views. And it was big. You know, WrestleMania was in Boston when Stone Cold won the title. It sounds cheesy, but there's something about it that's a lot of fun. It's not like there's a bunch of drunks yelling at each other. Everybody's having a good time. So I've always had nostalgia. Growing up, I was a Macho Man fan. That was my guy. I snapped into my Slim Jims like everybody else did.
Love Macho Man.
Yeah. You know,
Step into a Slim Jim.
Yeah. I can't even get that low voice.
Macho Man was awesome. Remember like Jake the Snake.
Rowdy Piper with his coconuts on Jimmy Snuka's head. It was all a bunch of stuff.
You mentioned earlier how they put their bodies through some hell. If you ever listen to the Joe Rogan podcast, he has Kurt Angle on there. He has Hulk Hogan on there. And they talk about the back surgeries and the pain. And when Hogan started wrestling, it wasn't padded. Like, you're hitting basically cardboard. You know, not cardboard, like just wood. Like, they didn't pad it the way they do now. Yeah. And like, just the punishment that their body would take just to entertain us, you know, it's unbelievable. So
those ladder matches were like insane.
Oh, crazy, dude. Crazy.
Looking back, I'm like, geez, I watched that. You know, of course, I remember too. I kind of stopped watching wrestling is when Owen Hart died. Remember that pay per view? He fell from the rafters. You know, McMahon's in a lot of trouble right now for a lot of horrible things. So I don't want to praise that guy because he's kind of he's a scumbag. But the way they develop a company like this in the 80s, because it was all like regional wrestling groups in the 70s, or wrestling, you know, they all those different, like, well, TNT had their little one in the South. So for them to build this brand in our lifetime is interesting. Like, I didn't see baseball get born. We didn't see the NFL get born,
right,
or the AHL. But we grew up watching the WWE transform into this thing. And it's a major, I don't want to say sport because we know it's not a sport, but it's a major part of entertainment. I mean, The Rock is, how many of these guys, as John Cena became a movie star, The Rock became a movie star. Like, these guys went to mainstream. Yeah. Many of Hulk was a mainstream. He was in a ton of stuff back in the day. Roddy Piper's in a great sci-fi movie, They Live, which I would tell you, watch that movie. That's an awesome. That should be a double take movie. That movie's awesome. Roddy Piper.
How about Jesse Ventura, though?
Jesse the Body.
Jesse the Body.
The Governor.
The Governor Ventura. That's what I mean. You know, you got two governors in Predator. Forget it.
Two. That's right. I didn't think of that.
Plus Action Jackson. I mean, don't forget about that, you know?
Yeah. R.I.P. Carl Weathers. I like this for my double take. You need to do Predator, Mark. Let's go. Yeah, I get Predator out there. So
that's wrestling, man. Like I said, it's got a little place. Like I don't want to say I'm starting to get back into it, but I'm thinking about it more. You know, we were talking about it today. I started researching a little bit just to, like, I wanted to hear some of the entrance music. I love some of the music that just gets you pumped up when you hear it. You know, some of the storylines you could do without, but
it was a piece of our childhood, like the 80s. Yeah. It was pop culture. You had Cyndi Lauper, you had all. I mean, what kid our age didn't have the WWF wrestling ring with the WWF characters?
With the rubber guys, you know.
Rubber guys fighting in there. Who didn't have that? We all had that. It's a little different now. It's not as corny as back then. There was a lot of, like, the weird little characters and stuff. And now it's kind of like the guy's name, and that's who they are. But it just, 40 years, it's just a great I just, like, wow, I go back to, like, 1984 and think of that stuff. And it's still as popular as it's ever been. It has its down moments, but I mean, they're selling out Philadelphia's football stadium two straight nights.
It's crazy, dude. Awesome. A fun fact today is if you like wrestling and you want to watch a wrestling movie, I'm going to suggest Fighting With My Family. Have you seen this, Booz?
Yep. Excellent movie.
Oh, it's a fantastic movie with Florence Pugh. And I mean, one, she's hot anyway. But then it's kind of comical, but it's also based on a true story. She portrays Paige, I believe, is the wrestler that she portrays. Yep. And like, it's her story and what she does. And it's kind of cool. I think I'm going to watch it again. The Rock makes an appearance, of course, because The Rock's in everything. So
can I throw a couple out there? Just other ones. Andre the Giant documentary on HBO on Max is awesome. It's a fantastic documentary. It's about a couple years old now. And Rocky III. Just to see Thunderlips and Rocky go after it. That's a great, great 10 minutes of that movie. And then The Wrestler, which came out like 10 years ago, is a fantastic movie.
Who's in The Wrestler?
Mickey Rourke.
Yeah, that's him.
And Marissa Tomei's in that, and Evan Rachel Wood.
Awesome. Well, Booz, once again, thanks for jumping on the show. We wanted to do kind of a quick Final Four update, and then we threw some wrestling, because wrestling, it's fun. It's fun. I'm glad we got a chance to talk about it, because now I'm actually a little more fired up to watch it, and I can't wait for WrestleMania. Although I want to tell you, I was always a fan of the Royal Rumble that was always on pay-per-view with like 30 dudes just coming out of the ring and just being crazy. I mean, it was ridiculous.
I think the Andre the Giant Rumble at this, they do like the 30 guys who aren't like headlining, and they have a rumble during.
Yeah,
pretty much it's a tradition now. I always like King of the Ring. I always liked the tournament style. So it was like eight guys and they watched every match. That was always kind of my thing.
All right, everybody. Well, thanks for checking out the show, and stay casual.